Hier oben, gleich da danke.
I just thought about something.
Uh-oh. Now we're in for it. What?
We have a new schedule to put up for next month. It's all done, basically.
Oh, you've booked?
Yeah, we're good to go for September now. I was waiting on a confirmation from one person, but it's all done. So what I'll do...
It's not a secret month like July? July was insane.
Well, we had it was the utmost like confidential, like ultra-private secrecy on that one. September is going to be probably going up. We have another show this month still. Unfortunately,
no wonder I didn't get those encrypted emails that I had to go and get keys and decrypt. Oh, man.
Had to turn them with both hands simultaneously.
Yeah, there was like that memetic encryption that you had going on, and you're like, you got to go download the keys from the website and unencrypt it twice, and that'll show you the July schedule. And I was like, okay, and it took me an hour each time.
Well, we were going to have Philip Gardner on next week, but unfortunately, well, it's not unfortunate completely. His manager wanted to push his date ahead further, so what we're going to do is I'm waiting on a couple people to get back with me because there's some stuff. I want to talk about EVPs next week.
Okay.
And there's some people that have sent us some pretty interesting EVPs.
I have one on my desktop. Okay. Called, for some reason, I don't even remember what email I pulled it out of, but it was emailed to me, and it says, My Own Spirit Voice.
Mm-hmm.
That's the title of it.
Yeah.
I should pull that out and find out who it is.
Check your email and find out which one it was.
And have them on the show.
Well, what we'll try to do maybe this coming Sunday, because we kind of left it open again, maybe we'll just try to... Cause we got a lot of EVPs from people.
Right.
If you guys want this week, what we'll do is we'll have you guys submit throughout the week, if you want, email us an EVP that you have that you think is kind of cool, and we'll play them and talk about them next week, along with the other people that I want to talk to also. We'll try to put together maybe just an EVP show.
Cool.
Like, we'll just do all kinds of EVP stuff and just talk about EVPs. It'll be EVP
well,
all night.
And it's about time because now we can play, you know, what we hear to the caller as well.
Yeah.
Whereas before, before we had the super fancy stuff, you know, thanks to Scott K, we didn't have a way for them to hear what we were hearing.
Yeah, exactly.
But now we can. I mean, it's all pro stuff now.
So, yeah, that's actually a cool idea. Let's try it. Maybe next week we'll just do all your EVP stuff. We'll talk to people about EVPs and have people submit them throughout the week. Send in your EVPs. Send them in. We'll listen to them on the air next Sunday, along with a couple of people, like I said, that
cool.
I wanted to have them come on the show and talk about some special EVPs they got.
I like that.
Now, we were talking about the Paranormal Picnic before. And where did I leave off at, Will? Will's off in his own world.
Debauchery, I think.
Will's like, huh? No. Debauchery, oh yeah.
Debauchery.
That's the part where we started up the Satanic Sex Orgy.
Right.
Yeah, okay. we were commenting on just the hard work these guys put into this thing.
They did.
Poor Amber, poor Julie, poor Tom. These guys were just working hard. The guys from Brimstone, guys and gals from Brimstone showed up. Chris, they put on a great presentation.
Are you saying Brimstone or Grimstone?
Grimstone. My voice is shot.
With a G? Okay.
My voice is shot.
Grimstone Inc.
Well, we talked so much yesterday.
They're linked up. They've got a rotating banner on our site. I was so geeked when I heard when they emailed and they said, oh, you know, can we get a rotating banner on your site?
Yeah, yeah.
Well, heck yeah. You're Grimstone. You can have whatever
awesome.
You want. Yeah. And so we did. And they have a rotating banner. So if you reload the Ghostly Talk page enough times,
you'll see it.
You'll get Grimstone Inc.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, my voice is shot. That's why I think I'm pronouncing words weird. So I'm really sorry about that because I'm just having a hard time talking right now. We talked all day yesterday. From, like, the time we got in the truck, from, like, the time, like, at 2 o'clock in the morning, 3 o'clock in the morning, we went to bed. We were just blabbing, you know, all night long. You know, just about everything, all kinds of stuff. But Grimstone did their presentation. GLPR did their presentation before Grimstone. And we didn't really know what was going on. We were going to come and hang out.
This was insanely amazing.
We're just going to come and hang out and have a good time and meet some great people and talk about cool stuff and, you know, just crash at the hotel room. So we're sitting there and, you know, Amber mentioned that she might want us to talk about the radio show. We're just like, yeah, we'd love to do that. That'd be totally cool.
Sure, I'll talk about the radio show.
Yeah, that's always a good time. So she just kind of grabs us after Grimstone was done. And she's like, okay, you guys ready? And we're like, what? Oh, you want us to speak now? All right, cool. You know, so we walk up there.
Me.
Yeah.
Got it.
We walk up there, and we're like, okay, we're just going to do it. And Amber's like, well, wait, before we get started, we want to show you something. And we're like, okay, well, what? And she's like, well, you know, we really like your guys' show, and, you know, Scott L., you're the sexiest ghost hunter I've ever met in my entire life. And based on... I'm just kidding. Nobody said that.
Wait a minute. That,
yeah. That might have... Am I making stuff up again?
Yeah, yeah.
That's what happened last night when I was sleeping. I'm sorry, yeah, I found my dream last night.
That was
night.
The dream.
No, they presented us with this amazing... by the way, GLPR people, if you're listening right now... it's hanging on the wall.
It is.
It's like one of the first things I did when I got in the door today was get this picture hung up on the wall. So we're all looking at it right now as we're doing this show, just in complete awe and going, wow, do we really deserve something this cool? Because this is... we're going to get pictures of it. And also, the GLPR people, get your pictures over to us also so we can get them up on the site so people can see this amazing artifact that you gave us. Because this will be an artifact.
Amazing.
This is an amazing thing. What it is, I don't know how we're going to describe this.
Well, it starts out as a picture of the Mona Lisa.
Yeah, yeah.
It's the Mona Lisa in a frame.
Yeah, yeah. And what happens
is... But that's not all.
Well, you remember, we were talking about that last night. Remember when you bought, like, a box of Cracker Jacks?
Right.
And you get the goofy little toy, and it might be a picture of, like, you know, Snuffleupagus or something?
Well, the one that I remember is an eye.
Yeah,
it was like this eye ring or something. It was a ring, cheap plastic ring.
Yeah.
And it was a picture of an eye.
Mm-hmm.
And then when you turn it, it turns into an evil eye.
Yeah.
Like, it's all bloodshot and, you know,
death
rays coming out of you.
Well, now, we have a picture of the Mona Lisa here. So
right.
Amber unveils that she had, like, it under, like, this, like, velvet sheet.
Right.
And she had, like, she hired, like, Jennifer Lopez or somebody to, like, present
bring
it
bring it
us.
Out and present it
yeah.
to us. Yeah.
So, you know, da-da, congratulations. And... Wow, it's a pic, and I love the Mona Lisa. I've always actually wanted a Mona Lisa, honestly. I've always wanted my own Mona Lisa. You know, I don't want the real one. Cause
right, that's in the Louvre or whatever. Yeah.
Yeah, but I've always wanted a copy of the Mona Lisa. And I'm not just saying that because we have one now. I've always really wanted one. I'm not kidding you. When I saw it, I'm like, I've always wanted a copy of the Mona Lisa. So I was like, I look at the thing, and I'm like, oh, look, the Mona Lisa. That's what, and then I turned, I'm like, And what it does is it's one of those things like we were talking about.
It's like those hologram things.
It's a hologram thing. Yeah. Oh.
And it turns into an evil Mona Lisa.
Yeah, it does.
It's pretty cool. So anyway, they presented this to us, and it says, let me read the inscription. They have a plaque thing, and it says, Dead Air Never Sounded So Good. Presented to Ghostly Talk for their dedication to the paranormal world, Great Lakes Paranormal Research. And so I have to say thank you so much for that. Oh, and we've got a caller. Mm-hmm. Let's hear who it is.
Somebody must have heard us sticking a knife in their back or something.
Uh-oh.
Yes, okay, yeah.
Uh-oh.
Guess who we got on the line right now. Was that Tap? I'm sorry.
I said you guys made it back all right, huh?
Oh, yeah.
Sort of. We'll he made a lot less... It was like a baseball game. He made a lot less errors on the way back than he did when we were there.
Well, we didn't. We made.
You slept through some of them.
Did I? Oh, yeah. Did you screw up a couple times?
No.
Are there classifications of errors? Because if there's like regular errors and then major routing errors.
Well, no, I'm talking about like locking your brakes up at the last second and putting me through the windshield again. And again, and again, like multiple times.
Do you
times.
Keep seeing ghosts or something? What's up? The only time I did that to Scott L. was when I saw a ghost.
We have Tom on the line from GLPR.
Yeah.
This is Tom.
Well, hi, Tom.
How you doing, Doug?
Pretty good. We were just talking about the Mona Lisa.
Yes, I was listening. That's why I called in.
Yeah, the Mona Lisa and the evil Mona Lisa.
And the evil Mona Lisa.
Yeah.
Well, before we go any further, Will, why don't you read what...
I already did.
Oh, did you already
When
I was screening the call.
Yeah. I can't believe we screened. This is Ghostly Talk. We didn't have a screen.
There's scary, evil people out there. And I'm Mr. Paranoid now.
And
so.
Then you let them on. So, I mean...
Yeah. So you read what these guys put on there?
Yes. It says... I'll read it again.
Go ahead.
It starts out with, Dead Air Never Sounded So Good, which is awesome. Mm-hmm. You know, and that, again...
This is like a 24-karat gold plate.
Yes. It says, presented to Ghostly Talk for their dedication to the paranormal world, mm-hmm. Great Lakes Paranormal Research.
You know, so, and that brings a tear to my eye.
It does.
It brings a tear to my eye.
I'm so touched and honored.
But what really brings a tear to my eye is the frame. The frame is absolutely beautiful. This frame, we're going to get a picture of this thing up as soon as possible. I might make Will get a picture of it after I leave here in a few minutes and send it over to me so we can get it up on the site, because the frame of this thing is absolutely beautiful. It's just the whole thing is just really cool looking.
It is awesome. You thought of it, and then you made it happen, and it was just it's absolutely amazing.
Well, the main force behind that was Amber. That was the big secret. She didn't even let myself and Brian see it until it was totally finished.
You told me that last night. Yeah, you know, Amber's my new chick, dude. I was ready to propose last night because she's a metalhead and she's a ghost hunter at the same time. And I'm like, that's it. That's all I need. Now Amber really was. We had a ball with everybody.
It was pretty insane last night at the hotel in the conference room.
You see, and that was all sober too. We were all dead set sober, but we just were ranting. Well, I think I should be honest. It was me ranting and raving. Everybody going, "What is this guy BSing about? What's this guy's problem, man? Why is he like ranting his head off?" You know.
It was a good time. It was excellent.
Yeah, I think. How do you think everything worked out? I mean, you guys. I know that Amber was really nervous, and I kept grabbing her, going, "Look, just breathe." Just breathe. Yeah. Okay. You're fine.
I was calling her all week long, just telling her, you know, just relax. Everything's cool. Everything's set. You know, it's going to happen, and the weather's going to be fine. Just, you know, just chill. It's all going to be good.
The weather was perfect. The weather was right there.
It was great.
You couldn't have had a better day for it. It was perfect.
And it was an interesting bunch of people that showed up from all different walks. You know, it's just we had psychics there, mediums. We had just people that had hauntings in their homes. It was great.
Yeah, it was all around awesome.
And I, you know, it's really interesting because they all ended up sitting at the tables together. Like they
yes,
it was so funny.
They migrated together. I know it.
I'm a mingler kind of person. I'll go up and talk to all kinds of people. And
yeah, ghostly talk presentation is not your normal presentation. No. It's very. We don't go up there and talk about ourselves for like, you know, an hour and a half or whatever. Doug's the force behind that, where he's like he literally gets in the crowd like Gallagher or something and starts like walking around throwing watermelons at people and stuff, you know. He really gets in there and talks to people,
right?
And that's how we found this out.
Yeah, and it turned out the table right in the center was a table of ladies who all had haunting experiences in their homes at one point or another.
Yeah, yeah.
And then the table just as I was looking out at the crowd, just to the left of them was a table of mediums and psychics. And then of course around them was all of the, you know, the ghost hunting folks and the people I was, you know, have corresponded with and met and things like that. So it was just amazing how everybody, like, was there, but they were all, they staked out their own table. I thought that was funny. But I did get to talk to so many cool people. That was an awesome thing you did. How did you get Grimstone to agree to go out there for a first thing? Because Grimstone's been around forever. And, I don't know. It was just so interesting that you got them, and I was so glad that I got to meet them.
Yeah, you know, Amber could probably answer that better than I could because she coordinated the main part of that. I was handling the accommodations and and the refreshments and just making sure that we were all set to go. But I know they contacted her and wanted to know if they could come out, and you know, we were like, "Yeah, great, it'd be perfect."
Wow, that is awesome. That is so awesome, and I was so, it was incredible. That was an incredible day, and it needs to happen again. So, I don't know, are you worn out, or are you going to do it again?
Well, like I said, I think I left 2:30 this morning, and I had to be back up by 10, and by 11 o'clock I was on the way to Lake Michigan to go sailing.
Wow.
Which was great. I was telling Scott about it.
Amazing.
We spent the afternoon on a... myself and Brian and Carol from our group, and Athena, I think you met her.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
We ended up on a 41-foot catamaran for the afternoon. So.
Wow, on Lake Michigan.
On Lake Michigan.
Anybody get sick?
No.
Smooth sailing, huh?
Yeah, it was great.
Awesome.
But it was really a good time, you know, and everybody was pleased, and we had so many positive comments afterwards, you know. And even afterwards, when we did the public hunt, with West Michigan Ghost Hunters.
You know,
everybody was just hanging out and talking. And then, of course, after that, we all ended up back at the hotel and, again, hung out till I think I left at 2:30. You guys probably were there until what, till 3?
Well, I had escaped early because my friend had to work at 6 a.m. So I had escaped early, but we made one of the major errors on the way home. We programmed the GPS unit to take us home, and it decided to route us through Flint.
You know, you got to be careful with that track back stuff.
So we went through Flint. I don't know how and why, but we did.
It should have taken them 2 hours and, like, 20 minutes, maybe even 2 hours at a time of night.
4 hours.
Double.
4 hours to get home. It was insane. So we got home about 5:30.
Oh, no. So he got no sleep.
Right. He had to, like, go right to work. That was awful, but yeah, it was amazing, and I had such a great time. I wish we could say, but you know, when someone's, you know, work schedule interferes, you have to make accommodations.
Oh yeah, so. You know, we all go through that. You know, we're all, you know, we have our full time jobs, and then the ghost hunting is whenever we can get the time. You know,
right. So, but yeah, that was amazing. So what's up for next year? Have you already started the plans, or is that going to be
We took the day off today and just kind of relaxed, but the next couple of days I'm sure we're going to be, you know, going over our pictures and just talking and seeing what we want to do.
Excellent.
I'm sure we'll be giving you a call.
Well, I hope so, because I want to get as many folks as possible there. Because next year it should be, you might need a couple of pavilions, I hope. And
that's what we're hoping. Right.
And then we'll have, like, the main stage and then the the off stage. I just want it to be an incredible thing.
Call it Parapalooza.
Yeah, Parapalooza. We're going to have Parapalooza next year. Because it was awesome. And Grimstone gave such a cool presentation. And it was just amazing. Absolutely amazing all the way around. I had a great time.
Like I said, it was good to see you guys again. And, you know, we always have a good time. I mean, Doug, I haven't seen you in 2 years.
Right.
I think it was.
Well, we had been at Felt Mansion, and you were the one. And
oh yeah.
If you go through the archives of Ghostly Talk, I talked about this. When I went to Felt Mansion, it was that was the all night hunt on Halloween night or something.
Right.
And we were all there, and I thought it was Vicky. Told me this story about how there was this guy out. She needed to talk to you. And she went out to talk to you, but you were standing out at the fountain, which, you know, doesn't work, but, you know, you were standing out at the fountain, and you were talking to somebody. So she comes back in Felt Mansion, and then she decides, no, I have to talk to him, you know, I'll just go interrupt. So she goes out, and you're still talking to whomever you were talking to, and as she got closer, the person you were talking to disappeared.
While she was looking at me, I was out there with my camera and was sensing something, and I'm trying to take pictures, and I'm talking because I know there's something by me, and I'm trying to get information about it, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And, well, which I did from her later, that definitely something was there.
You were talking to somebody. You were talking to some lady, is what she had told me.
Actually, I believe it was Agnes.
Right. Well, that's what we think. We think it was Agnes. Because, wow, you know, and that's what happened. I thought that was the second time I met you, because weren't you also at the second, what has become the Michigan Paranormal Conference? Well, it would have been the first public one, or the first open one.
Right.
Because the first one was more of a meet and greet kind of thing, and a should we do this kind of thing, and then the first open one was, you know anybody could go, and we went out there, and I met you at that, and then we ended up ghost hunting at that little cemetery,
right? And that's where you and I kind of headed out. We that's when we heard our voice calling our name,
right?
And plus our adventure at the fast food place there. What was that?
The White Castle.
Remember that? The White Castle.
The really, really, really drunk guy.
Right.
It almost hit Pete.
Who, yeah.
Yeah.
And but we got him arrested or whatever.
Exactly.
That was insane. But that's how we got permission to go to the cemetery. So that worked out.
Yep.
Not for the guy, but for us. And public safety in general. Because we're always watching out for public safety. Wow.
Yeah, Pete is still with your group, right?
Well, as a matter of fact, he called me today. He left a voice. No, he called me yesterday. And he left
I already took care of it. Because he called me when I was at the picnic.
Okay, so because he had a computer question.
Actually, Thomas, remember when my phone went off when the three of us were up there talking?
Yep.
That was him.
Ah, okay. So, yeah, we do still talk to Pete, yes.
He's still involved with the Monte Carlo Club or whatever that is that he did?
Unfortunately, he still is, but unfortunately he had to sell his Monte Carlo.
Oh, no.
Well, he wanted to buy a house. So.
Oh, yeah, you know how that goes. Got to get rid of those toys.
He used what he made on the Monte Carlo to put the down payment on his house. So.
Nice.
He had to get rid of it, but he's looking to get another one. Something he can work on and fix up as he has the time and money.
Right. So he's.
Oh,
still
by the way, hey Will, I can forward the picture of you sleeping at the cemetery if you'd like.
Oh, that'd be great.
And, I forgot. I also have audio.
Really?
Over the years, we're going to collect a lot of audio like that.
I have a habit of falling asleep at haunted locations. I fell asleep at Soup Cemetery.
When did that happen?
Remember when we stayed out there for like 3 hours one
night?
Right. I was in the vehicle sleeping for like two of that.
Ooh, I did not know. I would have been all over it.
I would have just like propped myself up next to a tombstone, but it was starting to, like, sprinkling.
Yeah, it was sprinkling. But...
Scott, I have not gone through the audio from last night, but I'm sure it's going to be very entertaining.
Well, Scott had to go, so he's not here, but he's going to be, he's definitely going to be entertained by that.
Yeah, I'm going to get that in a good file, and I'll forward it on to you.
That'll be awesome. Oh, man. Well, I'm looking forward to, what other kinds of things does GLPR do? What's on your schedule for the rest of the year?
Well... we're going to be doing some follow-up on a couple of home investigations that we've been involved in.
Mm-hmm.
And I've still got, you know how it goes. I went through 3.5 hours of audio and video the other night.
Right.
And I have 4 hours of other audio I have to go through yet just to check for, EVP activity.
That's what it takes.
You know, somebody asked me one time, like the movie White Noise, they said, is that the what it's really like? And I said, the only part that's really true about that is the guy sitting in a dark room with headphones staring at a screen for 3 hours at a time.
That's yes, exactly.
You know what I mean?
The whole rest of White Noise did not need to be made, but that's my own opinion. I'm not a professional movie reviewer. They would run me out of town if I were. Okay. Well, thank you so much, Tom. It was great to hear from you, and thank you for the presentation, the award. It was just insanely cool.
Well, again, thank you for showing up. We had a great time, and we look forward to our next event with you.
Excellent. So, excellent. Well, thanks so much.
Okay. Have a good night, you guys.
Bye-bye. You too.
Bye-bye.
Tom of Great Lakes Paranormal Research.
We lost our phone screener.
Yeah, we don't have
whoever
phone
calls in,
anymore.
We're just going to be right on the air.
Right. We don't know who you are. We'll just click. There you go. You're on. But do you know, Will, I wanted to talk about something real quick. I was emailing this fellow, Henry Farnham, back and forth. He's got a show. It's not about paranormal stuff. It's about Broadway. Because he's an actor and singer. And right now, he's broadcasting on, like, the Live 365 thing.
Okay.
That's, like, the beginner's thing or something. Because I don't know why people do that. But, you got to start somewhere. Right off the bat, his show is phenomenal. You know how, like, Ghostly Talk, we don't have the original 13 up? Well...
We should have a contest with, like, that's the prize or something.
The original 13. Oh, my gosh. I got to get a copy to Bonnie because she's been bugging me for it. But I'm telling you, I listened to his first show. I was absolutely amazed. And, you know, well, here's the thing. It comes on immediately following Ghostly Talk, but it's on Live 365.
Right.
So I don't know how, like, you've got to go and do their player, or you've got to do... Live 365 is very difficult to listen to, but you can get it. You might want to check it out if you ever get some time. You would go to Henry Farnham. I think it's Henry is H-E-N-R-Y. Farnham is F-A-R-N-H-A-M, I believe, .com/radio.
Okay.
So henryfarnham.com/radio. And it's about Broadway, and he's got famous... His friends are, like, amazingly famous, right? And because he's an actor and singer and Broadway person. So he's got these just amazing shows. And I would say, you know, give him some support, because if you can get into that Live 365 stuff, it's really worth listening to. I listened to the first show, and it was enchanting. I just had a great time listening to it. And it's professional. Right off the bat. I don't know how he did that.
Well, he has the experience behind him is working, you know, by working in media, you know,
right,
all these years.
Right.
He knows a lot of the tricks and things already.
Mm-hmm. Well, I don't know how he put together a show like that so quickly, but he did.
The phone is ringing.
Let's bring him on. No screening this time. Welcome, unscreened caller, to Ghostly Talk.
Unscreened caller.
That's what it is. You are.
Well, this is Zarella.
This is who?
Zarella.
Oh, hi there.
Hi.
What have you been up to?
She's the one from Kansas I was telling you about. Remember?
From what?
From Kansas.
Oh yes.
Yeah. I'm planning my vacation in September to go to all the haunted towns in Kansas.
Oh.
You have to go to Atchison.
Atchison, Kansas. That's where we...
Yeah, it's on my list.
Oh, good.
But there's a bunch of other places, I guess, that I had never heard of.
So you went to, what, Shadowlands.net or whatever and printed it out? Because that's what we do.
Actually, I went to this place called legendsofamerica.com.
Ooh,
I never heard of it before, but they have all kinds of stuff on where to go.
Wow, I had not heard of that. So that's a good tip.
Yeah.
Legendsofamerica.com.
Yeah.
Cool.
But, I mean, there's a lot of stuff about Atchison in here. So it's not that far from me. I can't believe I've never been there.
I know. I keep thinking, because we're here in the Detroit area, Detroit, Michigan area. And
mm-hmm.
I keep thinking, man, I wish there was more haunted spots, because I think I've hit them all. You know, but but more and more crop up every now and then that we have to go check out. But
well, you could go to the old apartment building I used to live in. I'm sure there's some hauntings there.
Oh, really? Where
down
about?
On 9 Mile and Woodward.
Oh, yeah, that would be pretty haunted.
Yeah, it's pretty bad down there.
But as a matter of fact, you know, we just had, when you were around here, did they have the Dream Cruise then?
I haven't been there since I was about 25, and that's been a long time. I'm not going to tell you how long that was.
A couple of years, I know.
Yeah, a few.
And, they have now this thing called the Woodward Dream Cruise, and it happens officially on one day, and it happened to be yesterday, but the entire week before that, Woodward is effectively closed. I mean, you can't go very fast on Woodward at all, because people take out all their classic cars and their you know, pimped out rides and stuff
like
that.
Yeah, like they used to do in the 50s.
Mm-hmm. And that's,
you know, I knew somebody that actually met their husband on Woodward.
No way.
Yes, way. I went out with this guy.
I am not going to say what I'm thinking.
What?
How was she dressed?
Hey.
She wasn't on a... Never mind. No, so she was cruising, I take it. They were all like... The girls got in their cool cars, and the guys got in their cool cars and rolled up their shirt sleeves and
yeah, this was
okay.
Back in the 50s, okay?
Ah, okay, that was
she wasn't on the street corner.
Good. This was a much... a much different Woodward then. Than the
she
Woodward.
She didn't have a dress spiked up to, you
right,
know, her
yeah.
Hip.
Yeah. some, yeah, covering a bit of the hip, yeah. No, yeah. The, yeah, okay, so it was a much different Woodward back then. Yeah.
Mm-hmm,
so
mm-hmm.
So she met her husband cruising Woodward. That's pretty insane.
Yeah, well, I guess that's the thing that was, you know, kind of looked down on, kind of like meeting somebody on the internet is this day.
Mm-hmm. Although I know a lot of people who've met on the internet, so I don't know why that's a taboo or, you know, looked down upon, because I think of, well, I don't think of the internet as a dating service, but I do uh-huh. think of it as a way to meet people and interact with people, and I think that the...
Well, it's not as bad as it used to be. I mean, you know, 5 years ago, people really looked down on you if you did
oh,
that.
Oh, yes. Oh, yeah. Because those are all strangers, you know.
Well, but, yeah, but, you know, and the stories that came out, like, you know, some strange person, you know, you met at a bar and blah, 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 you know.
And it continues. I mean, it does happen on the internet as well. You've
oh,
got
yeah.
your bad people.
But
sure. But I am shocked that, I'm glad, I should say, that you know, respectable sites have cropped up where you can meet people and stuff like that. You put out the equivalent of a personal ad and
like
you,
Pioneer
you can,
Radio?
Well, while I think we're respectable, you can't put a personal ad on Pioneer. So, hooray.
No, but you can meet people in a chat room.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. And some of them are... are probably, well, all of them are interesting, but the vast majority of them are probably good quality people, I think, and but you never know who could pop in a chat room, you know. But,
well, that's true.
But, you know, for the most part, we've interacted with a lot of the people in the chat room for, you know, for so long that we get to know them pretty well, and then when they don't get arrested and, you know, hauled away, you got to figure, well, they're okay people. Oh, you got it. Good.
Well, I'm glad you guys are doing so well. I mean, I haven't been, you know, keeping up with it as much as I'd like to.
That's why there's archives. You can download archives anytime. Oh, but Atchison, Kansas, have you seen that Most Haunted Town thing on, like, Travel or Discovery or whatever it's on about Atchison?
Actually, on the front page of this Atchison piece at Legends of America,
okay.
they have an ad for Most Haunted Town in Kansas.
Oh, okay. But you haven't seen the video itself?
No.
Oh, it's hilarious. You've got to watch it, but, you know, bring something to cover your eyes with, because there's this thing that goes to the Sally House.
Mm.
That's really scary. You'll know it because it's got a spade, you know, like the Ace of Spades spade tattooed on it somewhere. And it attempts to read the Sally House. And then, of course, the guy, its husband, went up and, like, just knew that there was paranormal activity in the house because he had pointed the EMF detector at the television that was on. And it caused his EMF detector to spike.
Wow.
So,
well,
yeah.
There's a place here near Kansas City called Missouri Town that is, I'm not sure of all the history about it, but the gift shop is one of the older homes there. I don't know how old it is. It's like 100 years old or something. But when you go up the stairs to go view the rooms,
mm-hmm.
there's one room that is haunted.
Wow.
And I didn't know it. I went there with my kids. And one of my youngest child said, "There's somebody in here, Mom." And I said, "Yeah, I do believe there is." So we went down the stairs, and I said to the gal at the desk, "Have you noticed anybody up there, like, that's, you know, not in physical form?" And she said, "Yeah, we hear it all the time."
Wow.
Yeah, so that's kind of an interesting little spot.
Missouri Town, Kansas, huh?
No, it's in Missouri, actually.
Oh, Missouri. Okay.
Yeah.
Wow.
And then I've been to... Fort Riley. I was very adventurous one day. I was coming down the highway on my way back from a meeting and stopped there by myself, went into one of the closed areas in the dark. That was pretty creepy.
That's
but there
adventurous.
Was one there was one place that was actually had a lot more energy than the others. I'm going to go back there again and check it out in the daytime.
with EVP recording equipment, right?
Yeah.
Excellent.
I'm gonna bring some stuff with me. Yeah.
Excellent. Because that's what really you know, you get to hear like the EVPs. Sometimes you can't hear them with your ears. You hear them later when you play back the tape. So that's what bring a recorder because it's important. Awesome.
Sometimes I think these things are like, you know how they talk about the different dimensions?
Right.
You know, I think that I think some of the, like the shadow people and the some of the EVP stuff, I think is actually in a different dimension, and that's why you can only capture it with certain kinds of cameras, or like it slows it down, or with certain kinds of radio audio equipment. I don't know. I know that's kind of a far-out idea, but it just seems, you know, because there's this overlap or whatever, according to Robert Monroe, who's done all the astral travel.
I'm very familiar with Robert Monroe. The dimensions, I don't see a problem with dimensions. I mean, they're even finding it in science. You know, science is saying with quantum physics that there's up to so many dimensions. But so I don't have a problem with it. I think that... though it all is part of one continuous continuum, right? We just, humans can't wrap our brains around it yet to fit, you know, peel the onion and get to the secret, you know? But I do think that there is definitely the overlap. And I do think also, like, along the lines of what you're thinking, that shadow people are dimensional instead of like travelers from outer space or something like that. Although there are people who think that they are traveling from outer space, and or that they can do that because of their advanced technology, so and that could be as well. But so I'm open to all the theories, but dimensional seems the most fitting to me at the moment.
Yeah.
So I agree there.
Yeah.
The voices, though, that's a little tougher because most often the voices are, you know, saying things unrelated to a conversation that's happening, but sometimes they do relate to a conversation or a person. And when they do that, it seems to me that there's some consciousness happening there as well.
Well, think about this. Why do we see UFOs pop in and out? Doesn't it seem like sometimes that dimension shifts? It comes together and then pulls apart again. Or you're driving and you're in one place and then all of a sudden you're in another place. Don't you think that, I don't know, that's just kind of an idea of mine that, you know, sometimes they cross over.
Interesting, because you're talking about a concept I had read about in a Judy Blume book, I believe, called Tesseract. She gave it the name Tesseract, and that's how these people would, or these special people would, go very, very, very far places in the wink of an instant, as they would fold space and time so that all they had to do was step to the next thing and then unfold space and time, and then they're wherever they, you know, the other fold had been. It's like if you scrunch up a piece of paper and two pieces from opposite sides of the piece of paper are together for a moment. And if you could, you know, step from that place to the other one that's next to it, and then re-unscrunch up, I guess, that piece of paper, boom, you're in a different spot. And that was called Tesseract by Judy Blume way back when I was in elementary school. And I thought that was a concept that was extremely interesting, but I didn't know if it had a practical application. But these kinds of things it could be. There's also the missing time thing, though, sometimes. So why... Yeah, I'm going to have to think about that.
So time is like origami?
It could be... If you knew how to... paper folding. It could be if you knew how to do it right, yes. Like, I could fold paper and never make a paper swan, so...
Okay, well, I won't keep all of your time here. I'll let you guys talk to somebody else.
But you got to promote yourself first.
Yeah.
Oh, promote myself. Okay, well, starting October 5th, here on Pioneer Radio, we will have Full Moon Radio. And I've it's going to be a little different than some of the shows that you're used to hearing. Be conversational, have personal stories. People can send in their stories. It's not going to be the typical interview, an author kind of a show. It's going to be a lot of fun and just something different, that's all. I like a lot of the other shows, and I enjoy listening to them, but I just thought it'd be fun to do something different.
Well, and so, that's what it's about. That's what all this independent media is about.
Yeah.
You bring your own special ideas and mix and presentation skills and everything to the table, and people have choices then that they don't get when they're just tuning in their AM and FM dials. So it's all about choices and about differences,
mm-hmm.
and that's what independent media can bring you, and I'm so happy that you're doing that. Full Moon Radio, I'm looking forward to it.
Yeah, thanks a lot, you guys.
Do you have the website up yet?
Yeah, that's wonderful. Thanks for that.
Okay. Well, thank you so much. It's been great talking to you.
All right, you too. Take care.
Excellent. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Amazing. Yeah, you did tell me about her.
Mm-hmm.
You said she'd not been to Atchison, yet lives
right
near there. And I thought that was something. So,
she's going to go and report back.
Good, good, good. Well, we have, I can't see the time. What time is it?
It's 8:40.
8:40. Cool, we got 20 more minutes. So so that would be two new shows, the Henry Farnham Show, which is not paranormal or you know, otherworldly related. That's, you know, Broadway related. And now Full Moon Radio. I'm excited about that.
Yeah?
You're not very talkative today, are you?
I'm tired. You're... I really am.
Well, what do you want to talk about then?
John Titor.
Oh.
There's some new things going on right now.
What could there be going on? John Titor. Okay. First of all, who doesn't know who John Titor is? Raise your hand. Oh, wait. No, that was yesterday. we were in front of people yesterday doing basically what Ghostly Talk is. Okay. John Titor is the time traveler who had to come back from the future to... several years ago? I don't remember exactly.
Yeah,
what
he
year.
Was collecting. He was collecting
and
things
was,
to go back to 2036.
And one of them was a specific model IBM computer, and not like an IBM PC. This was more like the minis or mainframes of the time.
Right. They're trying to restore normal life in 2036.
And they're trying to restore normal life in 2036. And he needed some things, so he came back in his time machine. He interacted with people on some website or in some forum or something like that, and gave hints and clues about the future. And then he went back, or it's presumed that he went back to 2036 with his collection of goodies. So a lot of people asked him a lot of questions about his time machine. A lot of people asked him, and I think he went to Florida, didn't he say he was in Florida? I'm only going off the top of my memory, and I find John Titor and his antics extremely interesting, but I don't follow them, you know, letter for letter. I haven't studied them.
Well, we only have less than 20 minutes now, so I mean, I can give a brief high level. Basically, he made a whole bunch of predictions.
Okay.
A whole bunch of predictions.
Yes, he did Super Bowl predictions, as a matter of fact.
Actually, no, he didn't.
Yes, he did.
He, according to the official website, he refused to give a Super Bowl prediction because he...
Oh, that's right. That's what the one was. He wouldn't give it because it could affect the time continuum or whatever.
Right.
Okay. Yeah, all right. That was the one about... Okay, I'm sorry. Thank you.
But
thank you for correcting, because I would have been like, you know, because then, oh, as a matter of fact, they fought about that. It seems to me, this is ticking off some memory, seems to me they fought about that. He wouldn't give it, like, what if he would have said the one team and then was wrong, right? Would it have been him, you know, purposely misleading people so that he didn't affect the timeline? Or what if he said the other team and he was right? And then, you know, obviously to prove that he knew what he was talking about, and then affected the time stream or whatever. And so they had this big fight about that Super Bowl thing. That's why I thought of the Super Bowl, because of the fight that ensued after that. But what predictions did he make? Do you have it up?
I'm bringing it up right now.
Awesome. Because, yeah, John Cheadle, oh, man, that's an insane topic. I wish I would have prepared. I didn't know things were going on in the John Cheadle world.
Oh, it's pretty crazy. I mean, basically, everything that he's given, like an open date where he didn't say a specific time.
Right.
One of the things was China going to space.
Okay.
And that's happened.
Right.
Since that prediction.
Yeah.
And then of course, the skeptics say, well, he could have done some research and found that China was working towards it.
Well, not only that, China's a superpower, and they were closed at the time. It seems that they would do that kind of thing eventually anyway.
Right. But the big thing that's current is he said that on August 28th, he said there was going to be a civil war that's starting in 2004. But he said it would start in 2004 with, and it's going to be all about the taking away of freedoms. People are going to be fighting back to restore their liberty.
Okay, I see what you're talking about.
And it's going to start out with small clashes.
Yep.
And eventually escalate to a full-scale civil war.
Right.
But it's going to start in 2004.
Okay.
On August 28th, 2005, which is when the war is really supposed to start escalating with violence anyway, on a regular basis, he said there would be a Waco-style event. And what's going on? August 28th is next Sunday.
Okay.
So the only thing that's going on that could possibly be this Waco-style event that he has predicted is this Cindy Sheehan thing that's going on down in Crawford, Texas.
Hmm.
Now, however, she's not there at the exact moment. She's tending to her mother in California who had a stroke. But all the supporters, people who went down there to support her and help protest with her about the war and about, basically, the lies that she says of Bush,
okay,
the Bush's thing.
Okay, let's take a breather. Okay. Cindy Sheehan
right.
has gone to the president's ranch in Texas
right.
to stage a one woman, although it ended up, gathering a whole bunch of supporters as well. The first weekend there was a couple of, maybe a dozen or so, and it's gaining momentum. She wants to talk with President Bush. Because she had lost, is this true?
She lost her son.
She had lost her son in the war in Iraq, or was he in Afghanistan?
Iraq.
Okay.
She's not questioning the war in Afghanistan. She's only questioning Iraq.
And Cindy Sheehan, doesn't she also have a Detroit connection?
I'm not sure if she does or not. Okay. I know people have been going down there to support her from all over the United States.
Okay.
They said all 50 states are now represented down there with her.
I thought that story was also related to the little girl who survived the crash of
255
here on.
There might be some sort of connection, but I haven't heard that.
Okay.
I know they were talking about her on the news the other day, but I only caught the end of it.
Okay.
But that her family had basically kept her from the media over all these years. She's never done an interview.
Okay.
But I think they were talking about that she like they turned like 18 or something. I think that's what it was.
Okay. Cindy Sheehan or
the girl from Flight 255.
Okay. Who was the girl from Flight 255?
I don't remember her name.
Can you look that up on the internet real
sure.
quick? Because there was what I'm doing is I'm piecing together. I was not prepared to talk about that. But of course, I think we also have to talk about the background. And so, like, Flight 255 survivor ought to bring up some kind of interesting thing. But I'm piecing together in real time, which is always dangerous for me. I'm piecing together different things that I've seen over the past 2 weeks. And I pay attention to a certain extent to stories that I'm interested in, but stories that don't interest me, I don't pay very much attention to. They're just sort of, fragmented in my head. So that's why right now we're doing a little bit of research to find out about the about this connection that I seem to have in my head to the survivors of Flight 255 and Cindy Sheehan, the lady who's doing this this protest at the president's ranch.
It's just saying that she was a 4-year-old girl. Let me add Cindy Sheehan to the search string.
Okay. Because I want to see what if there's a connection, or if maybe I had invented a connection because I was not paying all that much attention. Because I would find that very interesting. If there's not a connection, then that's okay too. Because let me explain what's happening. Cindy Sheehan and her followers now, or now her supporters, I should say, are, you know, basically having this vigil outside the president's ranch in Texas, and Cindy wants the president to talk with her, and that's all. She wants to say
there's no connection.
Okay, then it was just two disjoint things that I heard simultaneously or something in my head. Okay, and what happens is she wants to talk with the president and have the president explain, you know, this is why we're doing it. This is, you know, and I'm sorry. I'm sorry that you know your son had to be one of them, and you know, one of the ones that lost their lives. But that it is for a purpose, and it is, and she wants that reassurance. That's
she wants
she
to
wants.
Know that her son died for a valiant effort.
Right. My own opinion on that, I'm going to spare you, because you don't want to know my opinion on that. However, Cindy Sheehan, John Teeter, what's up?
He said that August 28, 2005, there would be this Waco-style event, and on August 28th, there is a woman named Deborah Johns. She is... Her son is a Marine. I believe he's a Marine, and he's in Iraq.
Okay.
And she says she sympathizes with Cindy Sheehan, but she is going to Crawford to start a pro-war movement.
Okay.
Down there in Crawford, Texas, to combat the anti-war movement.
Okay.
Basically, she's taking hundreds of people down there, just as Cindy Sheehan has hundreds of people down there with her, or still supporting her even though she's not there. They've basically taken over the helm, and based on the rash of tear gassing by police, rubber bullets, tasers, the people getting shot with bean bags. There was a big thing in Miami not too long ago that it was some senior citizen protest thing that went on in Miami.
They tear gassed senior citizens.
They hit them with bean bags and they were shooting at their heads.
They bean bagged senior citizens.
It was
okay.
Some sort of protest of senior citizens. Nobody died from it, but there was a lot of people who had to have head surgery due to damage that was done.
Right.
It was something that didn't really hit the media, but if you look it up, it's all over the net. There's I think the AARP or one of the you know senior citizen people, you know, citizen groups is fighting it and actually taking the Miami Police Department to court for
good,
it.
Good.
Okay. You won't see it on CNN.
Right, and you won't hear it in the news unless I listen to News Talk Radio. So if it doesn't, you know, it's not going to be reported by even News Talk Radio out of Canada or
here. It was only a local story.
Yeah, because it's, I guess it wasn't important, but it sounds pretty important to me. But
they're basically what everyone's thinking is that there's, you know, these people are going to get into a heated argument, you know, one side
Monday,
against the other.
Tomorrow.
No, 28th, Sunday.
Oh, 28th, Sunday.
A week from today. That is going to be this clash between them, and the police will open fire with, you know, tear gas and bean bags and rubber bullets and all sorts of stuff.
Okay. That's a little on the insane side, but weirder things have happened.
Well, everyone's trying to see, and that's going to happen. They're going there August 28th. That's the first day of the pro-war rally that Deborah Johns is promoting.
And this is all happening outside the ranch in Texas?
About 4 miles out.
Oh, okay.
Because they won't let Cindy Sheehan...
They won't let anybody near, and that's because of Secret Service and you know, he's the president and stuff
right.
like that. Okay.
Well, they say that she's a security risk.
Well, she's acting like one, yeah. But... okay. Interesting. So things are going on that front. And nobody right now knows of any other kinds of things, like the family in the cabin, which was, I think, more Waco-style than, you know...
What was the name of that family?
I don't know. The family in the cabin that they all attacked.
Was it Randy Weaver?
Oh. Could be. Was it the whole family? And then they were...
Yeah,
okay.
a whole bunch of them... were killed.
Then that's it, because they went in, and it was right after Waco.
Well, there was two different families. There was one where the father was gone, and when the FBI ran in or something, a whole bunch of stuff went down.
Right.
And then there was another one where everyone was there, and it was a huge gun battle.
What do you think the FBI does that we don't hear about? Because if you hear about these kinds of... No, they had staked out the one that I'm thinking of for weeks and weeks and weeks and deprived them of food and a route to go get food and water, and they couldn't get supplies. And it was just this family living in a cabin in, like, Montana.
That, I think that was the Randy Weaver one.
Okay. So what do you think the FBI and the ATF and all those companies, all those governmental organizations do that we don't hear about?
Well, how would we, you know, only our imagination can go from there. But I mean, I'm sure there's a lot of stuff we only told on local radios, local radio or local news stations that, you know, that the world should know.
Right.
The place that we'll never find out about.
Right. Okay.
Ooh, there's another call.
All right, let's take the call. You're an unscreened caller on Ghostly Talk. Welcome.
Hello.
Hello.
Yes.
What's going
Hello?
On?
Hello.
What's going
Doug?
On?
Doug?
This is Doug.
Oh, great. I thought I was listening to a live feed, but I guess I'm not.
It's about a minute delayed, a minute to a minute and a half delayed when we do it.
Oh, okay.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I just wanted to call and say how much I love the show, and started listening back when I was working last year over at electronics company, and right now I'm still listening. I'm over in Houston going to school again, but sure love the show and wanted to let you guys know to keep plugging away at it.
When I was in Houston, I went out to Bragg Road. You're about 2.5 hours from Bragg Road.
Bragg Road?
Bragg Road. It's on the edge of the what they call the Big Thicket. And
oh yeah, the Big Thicket. Yeah.
Yes. And I was on Bragg Road. It's supposed to be haunted and everything like that with a ghost light. Bigfoot is supposed to roam around the Big Thicket as well. And we went out there I went out there with my brother to look and see what I could find, right? All I found was I found the county sheriff.
And, oh, my God.
Yeah, the county sheriff told me that the only... He could count on one hand the number of times... And now, he's up there all the time, right? Every night, working, patrolling the road, keeping the kids off the partiers, because it's a party road as well. And he said... And obviously he's got a patrol car. This is a car that they buy special for police that can catch other cars and things like that. And he said five times or less, because all he said was, I can count on one hand the number of times I had a night where something paranormal didn't happen.
Cool.
And so that means Bragg Road is pretty interesting even to the folks who patrol it. So I'm kind of jealous as to where you are, because that's an awesome place.
I'm going to check it out then.
I think you might want to. I know I had a good time. It's pitch black on that road at night.
Oh, really?
Because the canopy, the trees grow so close that the branches intertwine up above. So you can't see the sky. It's more like a tunnel.
And
it's haunted, they say. So I do like the area that you're in.
I'm definitely going to check that out. I am from San Antonio. Actually, I'm in San Antonio right now visiting my family.
Cool.
And down here, of course, we have the Alamo. And get some pretty interesting stuff going on down at the Alamo, too.
Oh, yes. And San Antonio also has the one road where they always go to, and the kids put... The ghosts of kids
the railroad tracks,
over the railroad tracks, and even if you dust off the, you know, put talcum powder or something on the back of your car, you see the fingerprints.
That's right.
So that's a great area too. You're in the heart of it all.
And it's about there's about 100 cars out there every Halloween.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah, the cops come out there just to run everybody off usually.
Wow. Yeah, I can imagine with that many people it becomes a bit of a hazard, a public hazard. But at the same time, what a phenomenal story and a repeatable, and that's what you're going for when you're looking for scientific evidence, a repeatable phenomenon.
Right.
So that's amazing stuff.
I have a suggestion, if y'all don't mind. Different locations.
Okay.
That you have been to or you're going to.
Right.
Take a portable GPS.
Okay.
And get the coordinates.
Well, it's interesting that you should say that because I do have a portable GPS.
Right.
So I have done that kind of thing, but I've not gotten coordinates of the places yet.
Right.
We had been talking about that, but I do indeed like that suggestion because the coordinates, if somebody could build a database kind of, you know, on the internet where you could mm-hmm. punch in coordinates, you can use coordinates to find out, you know, like how far things are from each other through, they call it a great circle calculation. So you calculate this the distances between a coordinate that you punch in and find all these haunted coordinates, and you could actually find the spots to go to within, you know, a 25, 50, 7,500 mile radius of where you happen to be at the moment. That would mm-hmm. be an awesome database to have on the internet.
Mm-hmm. Kind of like with the geocaching thing.
Which is one of my hobbies. I would love to get into that.
That's my hobby.
I haven't done it yet, but it's the kind of thing that I would love to do. I happen to have my GPS is actually a little thing that came with Microsoft Streets and Trips.
Mm-hmm,
and
mm-hmm.
what it does is it'll talk to, through Bluetooth, it'll talk to either your laptop or your computer, or it'll talk to a PDA.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So I have an interesting way, I think that, you know, now that technology has caught up with that kind of stuff, I could actually take the GPS thing and go mobile with it because I have a PDA, a personal digital assistant, and it runs Microsoft Streets and Trips, so it has the maps of places on it, and I could go directly to those coordinates because I'll have both pieces, the PDA and the GPS unit. And I could find a spot within, what is it like 30 yards or something now? There's a certain amount of give or something on.
Yeah, you can get actually better than that. One thing that Clinton did do when he was in office is turn off the error.
Oh, thank heavens. Okay.
Yeah, so you can actually get within a few feet, generally.
Not bad. Interesting. I'll tell you what. I'll open it up. If anybody has the ability or the desire to start such a database of haunted locations with GPS coordinates, email me because I would like to talk about that. I'd like to get something like that up. So it would be like a Shadowlands, only you could punch in coordinates or a zip code or something like that and find out haunted places within a radius. And I think that would be a phenomenal thing to have. So that would be a great extension to your idea.
Yeah, well, I'll try to get some coordinates down here for y'all.
Cool.
And I'll send them in to you, no problem.
Sounds good. Well, thanks for calling.
Yes. Hey, take care and keep up the good work.
Thank you so much. Have a good one.
Okay. Take care, Doug.
Bye.
Bye.
And that's another interesting idea. Oh, are we out of time?
Yeah, we are out of time.
We are out of time. Oh, never mind then. But I have to thank everybody who called. Thank you, Misty. Thank you, Tom. Thank you, caller from Houston and San Antonio. That flew by.
Yeah?
That flew by. John Teeter. Yeah, I'm going to have to look that stuff up. I take it that's all on your website that you go to all the time.
Yeah, that's how I found out about it, actually.
ATF or something.
AboveTopSecret.com.
Above Top Secret, yes. Oh, ATS. Yeah. With that, I have to thank everybody who called. Thank you, everybody, for listening. This, of course, will be put up in our archives. It'll be broadcast in replay on many stations or several stations throughout the Internet. And it will also be available for podcast download tomorrow or the next day. And thanks everybody for calling. Keep up, you know, keep up your research. Keep going. Keep doing stuff, because I love all this stuff. With that, I'm Doug.
I'm Will.
And this has been Ghostly Talk. We'll see you next week.
I need to go someplace where a man can think.
Media, become the media.